Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. I'm your host, Nicole Cleveland, and I am founder of Breathe Again Magazine and author of So He Cheated, Now What? A Guide to Overcoming an Affair in Your Marriage. Today is Thursday, August 4th, and we are in Norfolk, Virginia, and I always come on talking about how hot it is. But this week, it's not as hot as it was last week, so I'm glad about that. But I'm just excited for the show that we have on today. Thank you for those that are in the chat room. Thank you for those that have dialed in and that are listening via the web. I appreciate you so much, so much. Now, Breathe Again Magazine is a magazine for women that have overcome adversity. They went from victim to victorious, and we just really want to let people know that they are not alone in their suffering. We post real-life articles of women and men that have overcome adversity, have been through some really rough times, and it was founded because I went through a really rough time in my life, and I thought I was alone, and so the Lord dropped in my spirit to start the magazine. It is online. It is not print, and we just post articles. You know, we're not trying to compete with Essence or Ebony or anything like that. We're just trying to really share stories so women and men, just like you and me, don't feel like they are alone. It's been a busy week. I tell you, this week has been so busy. My head is just spinning, but I know the Lord is going to give me peace and rest. So I'm going to go right into the show. I am excited about this guest I have on the line. I have Larie Norvell. She's on the line today, and she is the author of My Heart Speaks. Larie, are you there?
Yes, Nicole, I'm here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing your story. Hello, you there?
Yes, my phone went out. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We've been having technical difficulties this afternoon.
Yes.
My internet went out about 5 minutes before the show, and then I had to restart and reboot everything. Then the phone was acting crazy. It wasn't charged, but the devil is a liar. We're going to move forth. So those that are listening and those that will log on and listen to the archives will be blessed by your story, because I think it's such an inspirational story, Larie. And you're having technical difficulties over there.
Yes, with my internet I was, and then just a few seconds ago my phone went out, but we got it all together now.
It is already all right, girlfriend.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, let's jump right into the book, and there's so much I want to talk to you about, because you have been through some stuff. Like all of us, we have been through it, but I just bless God for people that I meet that are willing to share their stories, like you and like so many different others that want other people to know that they're not alone. So I'm excited about this interview, and I know I say that all the time, but I'm excited to share God's glory with other people, because it was nobody but God that got you through it and got me through it and got others through it. So that's what I'm sharing, and I'm sharing good news. So Larie, you are a mother of three children. You're a wife, an author, a woman of God, and so much more. Now, after reading your book and seeing all that the Lord has brought you out of, I am absolutely certain that He has and knows the plan for you, and it is so much more than right now. You are really supposed to be here telling the story, sister. You really are.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Now, in your book, you don't hold back. You jump right into your childhood abuse, the molestation. Now, talk to me about what age it started.
I remember it starting at age 4, and it continued on through 18, but it wasn't always, you know, the same person.
Okay.
So it was just different circumstances.
Yeah, and so it kind of just elevated over time, and it went from one person to another person, and then it just, and then it was multiple people. And unlike, you know, some people may seem to think that it doesn't happen like that, but anyone that has ever been molested before and knows that it doesn't just stop with just one individual. Sometimes we are the victim of so much more. As being, I was molested as well. And reading your book, Laree, it took me back. I tell you, it really took me back to some very dark places in my life that I kind of left, and they were dormant. And it woke some things up. So I just, you know, I get blessed and I get healed by other people's stories, but you helped me as well. So I just thank you.
Well, I'm glad. That's my mission, to help others who may feel like they have no one to talk to or no one who understands. And it's also just to let them know that you aren't alone in this. If you need somebody to talk to, here I am.
That's right. That's right. Now, after the molestation, you began a series of self-inflicted abuse, drinking, drugs, sex, things of that nature. Do you believe that started because of the molestation?
Some of it, yes, because with the drinking and the drugs, it gave me an excuse. I could easily say, well, I was intoxicated. And, you know, it seemed to excuse any behavior that I did willingly participate in. And,
right.
You know, if I just felt like, you know, that's all I was good for when it came down to sex. I felt like that's all I was good for anyway, which going back to the molestation, it just seemed like that's what men wanted, that's what they needed, and
yeah.
That was my purpose on earth. So I decided to step up and, quote, unquote, fulfill my role.
Yeah, and even as a child, and as you say that, I really think about when I was a child and I would, you know, place blame on myself, and as you did, place blame on yourself, and you would think that there was no other role except to be used and abused, and, you know, but then it really went into, hey, this sex thing it's a weapon. It could be used in other ways to get what we want. Is that correct?
Sometimes it was, because the molestation, sometimes I would get candy or I would get money, and I'm, you know, now I know that it was just hush hush money and hush hush candy, but at the time, you know, my thinking was, oh, I get things out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And in my teenage years, it brought attention to me that I was craving, so it got me the attention that I needed. And, you know, sometimes it got me keys to my friends' cars, you know, if I didn't even have a license yet at the time, when I would drive around sometimes in other people's cars. So yeah, getting the things that I wanted, certainly it was an advantage.
Did you know the Lord back then? Were you in church? Were you around someone that could grab hold of you and take you under their wing and show you the right way?
Well, I attended church with a friend of mine and her grandmother quite frequently, but I was only there because, you know, my friend was there and I wanted to hang out with her as much as possible. And when I decided to get baptized, it was only because her grandmother said, well, you know, you've been coming here for a while. You know what you need to do. So I just went ahead and I said, well, I want to join the church, and, you know, just to make her happy, until I later learned that it is so much more into it than just joining a congregation.
Yes, yes. You sound like myself as well. Because not really understanding, you know, as children we join for the wrong reasons, and we walk up front because everybody else is walking up front, but
right.
Not for that relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Now, talk to me about using sex to increase your self-worth. In the book, you really talk about, you know, as a teenager, you got older, you married, you moved away. And are you from this area? Are you from Portsmouth, Virginia?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, all right. I didn't know that until I read your book, but wonderful. Because you talk about coming home. But as you got older, you became a wife, you got married, you had children, and you really go into talking about that perfect wife, the perfect mom, the perfect Christian, and you were trying to be something that you were not. I really want you to talk about that, because that had a lot to do with the sex, and that had a lot to do with you trying to live up to other people's expectations, as others
right.
are doing today.
Right. when I first got married, I must admit, and my husband knows this now, it wasn't for love. It was because I wanted to be rescued. I just wanted to get away and get away from the situation that I was in and everything that was going on. So he was my Prince Charming, you know. He came in on his white horse and was supposed to take me away from everything, and everything was supposed to be all right. And we were married for 6.5 years before we had children. But before that time, trying to find my self-worth in that, and how it, I'm sorry, how it went over into the sex was, I thought that I had to have sex with him all the time, no matter what. It wasn't my right to say no. That's what, you know, because like I said, that's what my purpose was. And whenever he would be involved with another woman, I started to think that I had to be like her or make myself like her so that I could keep him interested in me. And again, going back to the sex, well, or if I have more sex with him, then that'll keep him interested in me as well. And whenever we weren't having sex, then it caused me to go out for reasons of revenge. And also, just because, if he doesn't want to have sex with me, he want to have sex with somebody else, then maybe somebody else want to have sex with me. So I went out and I started sleeping around with other men just to find out, well, am I good enough? Is this going to work? What's wrong with me?
And I don't believe you're alone, and I don't believe that people may not. I believe I was reading a comment earlier on your page because you were posting the show, and someone said it's more people that do it, but they just don't admit to do it. Because I believe we've all done it at one point in our lives or another.
Yes.
And we've done it since we've been married. You know, we feel as though sex can get us something, or we feel that when we're twisted and we don't know the truth, and when we are misguided, I'm not saying when you know the truth, because we know that we are to fellowship with our spouses, we are to have sex with our spouses and make love to our spouses, but not for validation and not for self-worth. But when we are misguided, that's what we think, and we've all been there before. All of us have been there. So I don't want folks to be listening and saying, well, no, that's not me, and you, that's not how I think. Well, okay, baby doll, well, maybe not you, but somebody's been there before, and I myself have been there. So you're not alone, and none of us are alone. So go into talking about how it carried over when you went from your teenage years, you went into your marriage, you used the sex as increasing your self-worth, and then full circle, when did you realize, hey, this isn't working? This is not how it's supposed to be.
Actually, that's something that has been less than a year. Well, the book's been out a year, so maybe just a little over a year that I've learned. So I'm new at this, but I've learned it, and because I've been studying the Bible more and just coming to know that my validation doesn't come from anybody but God.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I look to him and his characteristics and seeing that, okay, well, I was created in his image. There's nothing unworthy about his image, so I can't be unworthy.
Yes, yes, that's good, that's good. So basically it was you diving into the Word of God and the Word of God teaching you and His Holy Spirit just showing you that who you were, and you were so much more than what you thought you were.
Yes, and learning that no one is perfect. So, you know, I'm happy to say that I am imperfectly perfect. You know, it's not about trying to be like anybody else anymore. I need to just be like me, myself, Laree, and that's all I want to do.
Yes, I love it, love it, love it, love it. Just be like Laree. I really want to read part of your introduction in the book. And you are listening to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. I'm your host, Nicole Cleveland, and I am interviewing Laree Norvell. Is it Norvell?
Norvell.
Norvell. She is the author of My Heart Speaks. And we are having a good discussion in regards to using sex to increase self-worth and all about her book. Now, your introduction, I want to read just a few sentences. It says, never meant for words, never meant to fall upon ears. and most certainly never meant to be read by many until now. These stories come from an overflowing heart. My heart speaks. It is an introduction to a series of unforgettable stories, poems, scriptures, and quotes that will touch your soul. Laree breaks the silence of her heart to share magnificent stories of faith, feelings of abandonment, deception, and love. I love that because it draws you in. It really does, and it really talks to those people that have been harboring those feelings and not really sharing those things with other people.
Yes, and my publicist, Nicole Christina, she is the one who wrote the introduction for me after, you know, reading my manuscript and everything, and this is what she sent back to me, and I loved it. I had no edits for, no comments, no feedback.
Yeah.
I said, that's it. We're going to use it just like that.
Yeah. You go on to say, just when you feel defeated and as if no one can relate, her heart speaks. If you're feeling the need for assurance and encouragement on life's challenges, her heart speaks. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And let me tell you, I read this book. It is a quick read, listeners. I read it in one setting. I opened the book and I didn't put it down. I read it from beginning to end. And I know today, we are talking about, you know, in the self-worth and using sex to increase your self-worth. But I really would like to talk also about what you had to go through as far as physically, because you have went through a lot as far as your body and your pregnancies and all of the different, the cancer. Talk to me about how the Lord just really, really restored you. But I don't want you to do it right now. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
Did he cheat and you don't know what you're going to do? Are you struggling with rebuilding trust? If not, then you know someone that is. So He Cheated, Now What? By Nicole Cleveland is one woman's personal testimony of overcoming an affair in her marriage, an affair that produced a child. No, it's not about catching a cheating spouse or six ways to get him back or 12 ways to find out if he's cheating. It's all about forgiveness and moving past the pain into her purpose. Visit SoHeCheated.com. Or call 757-404-1582.
I'm Dr. Willamette Hawkins, founder of Spring, a national single parenting ministry. I'm calling all the single parent family and the city of Norfolk, Virginia, to attend a powerful conference, three great seminars for the parents, middle, and high school students. Join us September the 24th, from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Lunch will be served. Register at springsingleparents.com.
Welcome back, welcome back. I am talking to Laree Norvell, and she is the author of My Heart Speaks, and you're listening to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. Now, Laree, let's talk about some of the things that the Lord has delivered you from physically in your body. You have gone through cancer, and the Lord has delivered you from the different sicknesses with your pregnancy, and then it's another thing in here that I can't even pronounce. So
that will probably be the neurocardiogenic syncope.
There you go. There you go. Talk to me about
that,
because
one, with that one, what they explained to me is that it's a genetic disorder of the neurons that's in your brain and connected, you know, down to your heart. And what happens is those neurons will tell your heart to speed up for no apparent reason. I could be sitting just totally at rest, and my heart rate will go up, and then my blood pressure ends up dropping. And when that happens, I pass out until the two, you know, get back together and agree with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And to control that, I am taking a daily beta blocker to help that. The one thing that's very powerful on that is they started my medication at 12.5, and then it wasn't working, so it went up some more, and And they say, you know, if it gets up to 200, then we have to talk about putting a pacemaker in. Well, still after much prayer and just being obedient to what I was supposed to do, I have gone back. I was on 50 milligrams. I've gone back. I am dropped now down to 25 milligrams.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's awesome, too, because at one point I think I read in the book if it got up to a certain amount, I believe it was 200, then they would have to do something else. So praise God.
Right, and even during my pregnancies, that was an issue. They were thinking that, okay, well, your heart may speed up too fast during the pushing process and, you know, you may pass out. So with my first pregnancy, they actually shipped us to another base overseas, because we were overseas at the time. They shipped us to another base that had a neonatal unit just in case I went into preterm labor or anything else happened during the labor. They could better care for me at those facilities.
Wow.
And then with, since everything went well during that delivery with no epidural, everything went well. With my second child, I was able to stay at our home station and not be sent away again.
Praise God. Praise God. And then there was the cancer that arose, and right now you are in remission?
Yes, I am. I am
praise
in remission.
Praise God.
And I was diagnosed with that in 2005, about 5 months after my second child was born. So 2005 was kind of a busy year for me. My son was born in April, and then in August of that same year, I had to have my gallbladder taken out. Then the next month, September, is when I had my thyroid removed, and at that time, there was a goiter there, but they said that there were no traces of cancer. Everything was good. They just wanted to take it out so that it wouldn't obstruct my windpipe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they took it out. The surgeon said something didn't seem right to him, so he sent it off for testing, and it came back with cancer cells in it, so he had to go right back in within 2 weeks, cut me back open, and he removed the total thyroid.
Mm. Wow. Now, I know for a fact you are here for a purpose, because there is no way. There is no way. You have been through so much in your life, and we haven't even tapped the surface on that, but, you know, the mission of the radio show is to encourage someone listening. We want people to log on. We want people to download. We want them to listen to the radio show and know they're not alone. Some people will never, never be like you, never be like me, and share their struggles with somebody else. They will keep it inside. That's why we have the suicide rate that's so high in the church. Mm-hmm. We have so much stuff going on inside and outside the church because they feel like they're alone, they are ashamed, and they don't know who to turn to because they don't want to be judged. So I want you to speak to that individual, that woman, that man, that boy, that girl that may be listening at this time and feel like they're alone. They may be dealing with the low self-esteem and using sex to increase self-worth and going through all the different things that you have gone through in your life. I want you to take some time and encourage them at this time, Lorraine.
Well, I say about your self-worth, it's definitely not in your sex. It's not in what anybody else thinks about you. It's not in anything that anyone has to say about you. It's not in trying to emulate other people and taking on their characteristics. Your self-worth is within you. It is within God, and because you were created in his image, and that comes from Genesis 1:27. And God's image, as I said earlier, there's nothing worthless about God and his image. So therefore, we can't be worthless.
That's God's right.
Image is love and it's peace and all those types of things. And also coming from Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45, it talks about those who store good things in their heart and those
yes.
who store the bad. Well, that's what
yes.
the overflow of the heart is going to be. And that's the basis how I got the title of my book, My Heart Speaks as well, because I'm getting all of this bad stuff up out of the overflow of my heart so I can start putting good things in and so that the good things can flow out. And the good things that are flowing out is me helping other people and encouraging them through their trials so that they can be
yes.
triumphant just like I am.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. I want to read one of the writings, the poems that you have in the book, and it's called For the Men in My Life. It says, for him, I'm not woman enough, but for him, I'm becoming. For him, I am not enough of a woman to sexually satisfy him. But for him, my sexual relationship with my husband is part of an expression of our spiritual union. For him, I am not worth the wait. But for him, patience gave me eternal life full of blessings. For him, I am undesirable. But for him, I am longed for. For him, an image of me does not last nor affect. But for him, my image is new every day and is excitingly waits for the next. For him, I must share my space with others. But he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I know that I am woman enough for him. Yell it, Laree. Share it. For him, I am woman enough. For my God, friend, maker, lover, my everything, I am enough. Powerful,
yes.
Girl. That's powerful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where did it come from? What made you write that?
Well, that was written not too long after another incident with adultery had come up with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I just was still in that worthless place feeling, wow, I just can't satisfy him. I can't do this. What is it? And after, like I said, doing the studying and learning that I am God's princess,
yeah,
I knew, you know, that this is where it came from.
Yeah. Been there, done that, you know, in the midst of the adultery in my marriage, I had got to a point where I said, you know what, if he don't want me, if he don't want to be with me, if we don't work out, I know God loves me, and I know I'm fearfully, and I know I'm wonderfully made because God said so. So therefore, my hope is not in man, but it is in God. So I get it, girl, I get it. You're not by yourself. Not by yourself. So I want you to take some time and tell the listeners how they can purchase your book, because I want people to support you, support that ministry, because that's a ministry, sharing what you've been through. Let them know how they can connect with you online as well.
Okay, well, if they'd like to email me, they can email me at laree@lareewrites.com. That's L-A-R-I-E at LAREEWRITES.com. They can also find me on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, all under Laree Writes. And to purchase the book, they can go to the web store at my personal website, which is www.LareeWrites.com. And again, that's www.LAREEWRITES.com. And lastly, I also have a blog that if they would just want to read some funny things about this goes on here at our house or whatever, it's mineheartespeaks.blogspot.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'd just like to take the time to thank you for being our guest today. I thank you for being transparent. And I believe that I'm your first. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes, you are.
I'm excited about being your first.
Thank you.
So there's going to be many more to come, sweetie. Trust me, trust me, because you have
you.
A powerful story.
Thank you very much, Nicole.
You are more than welcome. You have encouraged, I'm sure you've encouraged the listeners, you've encouraged myself. And listeners, don't forget, you can log on and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/breatheagainmag. Sign up, like us, like our fan page. You can follow us on Twitter at breatheagain, at breatheagain. Connect with us. You know, go online, read stories of encouragement and empowerment at breatheagainmagazine.org. We really want people to know they're not alone. If you have a powerful story, I want to interview you. I want to showcase what God has done for you. So email us at radioshow@breatheagain.org. I love you. I love you for listening. God bless you. And remember, it's never goodbye until next time. God bless.
Good night.